welcome to the show. Best around, it just depends if I'm in your town. Welcome to another edition of Ruck Talk, everybody. This is Ruck Talk number 11. I am your host, MJ. He is my dynamic duo partner, Brendan G.
What's going on?
Today's episode, man, it's a good one, man. Like it always is. When am I going to say it's never good? Huh? It's always good.
Every time we come up in the
every
studio.
Every single time, it's always good. He who rules the world, right? It's what we're going to talk about today. It's going to be an interesting one. Because my young partner in crime here comes to me and has a very interesting question. And I said, let's ruck about it. Let's ruck talk about it. And that question was,
who owns the world, Mike? owns the world?
He who owns the world.
That's what I wanted to know, because I kind of had this moment, and it was a real life moment, where I thought about, you know, how much am I paying in rent? And then I texted my neighbor, and she was paying about the same in rent, and she was going to renew her lease at the place that I stay at, and then they had told her that it's going to be $100 more, when in fact, it is already about $2,100 a month for a one-bedroom apartment, not even inside this city, but outside the city of Atlanta. And I know, talking to people in different states, that the rent has gone up significantly, and people don't really own houses anymore. Everybody lives in apartments. Everybody wants to be in the city. But even if you're not in the city, there's all like these suburb condo units and apartment units. And I'm just kind of beginning to learn that nobody really is owning anything
anymore. Why do you think that is?
I think it's a strategic ploy by the people upstairs to kind of
people upstairs
price you out of
our friends, the global elitists, those good friends of ours,
price you out of being able to actually afford a house, because the rate at which a house costs and the interest rates and everything is just so high right now that you can't even afford to. So you're going to rent, and then they're going to screw you on the rent too. So you're going to pay an expensive mortgage to live in a 600, 700 square foot apartment right now, and it keeps going up.
Didn't you do it? It's your fault. It's your friend's fault. It's all your friend's fault. Listen, here's the thing. And I know you came to me with, you're like, BlackRock, don't they own everything? It's like, well, yeah, what else do you know about them? That's the guy. So there's this group, this group of corporations, State Street, Vanguard, and BlackRock. And if you really put together every single asset that they have, that equates to,
it's upwards in the trillions. It's a lot. Like, it's almost matching our national debt.
I'm joking when I say it's like, if you put everything, like you dump everything out in America, they own 95% of it. And the other 5%, belongs to us. Like, that's, I mean, I'm literally joking when I say that, but that's really what it is. These guys have come up with the concept. Yes, one, the CEO of BlackRock, not to be mistaken for Blackstone now.
Blackstone, the girl, the barbecue girl?
No. Blackstone is another equity firm, but I don't think they own as much as BlackRock does. I mean, same concept, different devil. Mm-hmm. That devil.
Yes.
Did I say that? My Tourette's is acting up.
No,
today.
That is actually fully intentional. They are the devil, dude. They don't own anything.
So the CEO said, you will own nothing and be happy. But really, well, I could go even deeper than that, because I was talking to somebody, this was a couple weeks ago, this kid came up with a brilliant thing. He goes, so you're telling me that I'm going to have to pay you taxes on money that I earn, and then the money that I earn that's already been taxed, when I go out and buy stuff, I'm taxed again on top of that. So essentially, you don't own anything. And basically, that's what it is. Like, when you really think about it, we don't own shit, mm-hmm. right? Don't pay your property taxes. See what's going to happen.
Yeah, see how
they're going to come take your shit. You know what I mean? You own that house. And you own it flat out. You paid for the land and everything. Don't pay the taxes on it. See what happens. You're just renting everything that you own right now at this point, is how I feel about it. And I think this global elite group, right, whoever they are, we always say, like, they. Who the fuck are they? I'll tell you who they are. They're part of this entendre right here, of these three corporations, as well as you have our friends over at, you know, I'm not going to say the operating system's name. I don't like them and I don't care to own any of them. But
Bill Gates.
Ah! Yeah. So him.
Yeah, don't. Fuck, he's listening, him. Man. He's listening.
I don't give a shit. So, you know, you got the guy who's selling fake meat. You got these guys, right? And a list of others that pretty much, I think, the conspiracy theory is they get together, which they do actually. You know, it's all part of like things like the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and those fuckers that are aimed at totally annihilating humanity or basically wanting it run the way they want it run. They want to make sure that you're left with nothing. They own it all. They have it all. They could take it at any given time.
But I kind of went down that rabbit hole and I kind of found something a little deeper that explains a lot of the stuff that went on. Because like you said, BlackRock owns the majority shareholdership of a lot of these big companies. And one of those companies was Bud Light, right? And what happened with Bud Light last year, they had just out of left field, this shit just kind of came out of nowhere. They had a transgender mascot kind of do an advertising campaign that just blew up in their face. And everybody was like, why would you do something like this? Well, the answer is there's this thing called the ESG, which is a guideline standard rule thing that they have to follow. And you can look it up. It's online. Go on their website. But they kind of mask it as like, oh, we're pushing sustainability and we're pushing inclusiveness and diversity.
It's bullshit.
So these companies have to follow these guidelines and these procedures, because if they don't, they're fucked. So you think they care about, you know, the consumer anymore, or majority shareholder? They're going to care what they have to say first before they care about the consumer. In 2018, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink wrote a surprising letter to CEOs across the country stating, ready? To prosper over time, every company must not only deliver financial performance, but also show how it makes a positive contribution to society. Now, if you Google Larry Fink, you're going to find that he comes up associated with the Democratic Party. So this man definitely has an agenda to push. Companies must benefit all of their stakeholders, including shareholders, employees, customers, and communities in which they operate. This is basically just a nice PR statement. Let's get to the real reason underneath. And it's, he wants to push an agenda.
Listen, man, I've always heard, like, you know, when you get to a certain point in business, they always say, do as little as possible, but make it seem like you're doing a lot, right? Like shit that you just talked about. And I think, you know, the agenda is to own us. To, like, if you haven't seen it, the past 3.5 years showed its ass, right? On how, and when I say showed its ass, I mean to the point where they don't even care anymore. They'll come out and tell you, you know, down to what you own and what you eat. Everything. Soon they're going to tell you if you can breathe or not. That's how I feel. You know, when you look at somebody like a Bill Gates.
Wait, pause. How do you make people give a fuck? Because I know lot of people.
No, you can't. I'll tell you. Hold on. I'm getting to it.
Okay.
I'm getting to it. So, you know, and when I get to it, you'll have that aha moment. But when you have somebody like a Bill Gates that gets in, you know, first of all, I thought it was kind of weird during the COVID, you know, during the COVID pandemic when he had a big role on television about getting vaccinated. It was really, really strange to me. I was like, what the fuck does a computer guy have to deal with, you know, a virus? Now, at the end of the day, we all get it. Like, you know, biotech is a big thing and things like that. Entrepreneurs like that tend to, you know, probably look the right way as far as like they can make a couple dollars. So they're pushing a product. I get it. Right. But here's the thing, though. Common sense alone should tell you, right? Bill Gates comes to you and says, fast forward, you know, we should be eating lab-grown meat. And then they give this really cool explanation on the cultures of the cells, and they're just being replicated from the animal and all this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry, but Kanye West said it best when he told somebody, he said, listen, man, I only take advice from people that are richer than me. I'm sorry, man, I'm only taking advice. Like, look at you, bro. Like, at least, like, you want me to eat that and look like you.
I want to. I wish I had a picture of Bill Gates and his fucking mantis.
It's not going to happen. Like, seriously, it's just one of those things where it's just like, you know, so back to your question, how do you get people to care? I mean, well, there's one way, and the most definite way that always gets them is when the shit knocks on your front door. You said that to me years ago when this COVID thing was going on. And I was convinced that they were not gonna try to vaccinate children for schools. And you were like, dude, when the shit starts knocking at your front door, that's when you're gonna be concerned. I ain't give a shit at the time until it did. Mm-hmm. Oh shit, right? And then I started caring, right? My caring hasn't stopped because of that knock. That knock shook me from here to wherever, because it's like, if you could do that, or if you could try to do that, what else are you capable of?
What do you think the knock is going to be for most Americans, though? Because the knock came to me with this BlackRock thing when I realized that I'm paying up the ass for rent.
People are going to start realizing it. I mean, people are starting to realize it now. What are you saying? You know, you have, there's some people that are realizing it and are fed up with it. And the easiest way, and normally the quickest way that happens, is when it starts hitting your pocket. Honestly, right? The fact that, you know, which is another scary thing, because it does also dictate how you sway people, how their pockets are affected. So we went through this period the past who knows how many ever days, right? That 900 and something days that we've been in this spiral free fall of, oh shit, everything's expensive, and now they're censoring me, and they're taking away certain freedoms, and they're stealing shit and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden it starts to balance out for the last 100 days or so.
That's the scary part.
And then I forget.
That's the scary part.
And it, listen, I get it. It's just you have to, it has to knock on your front door so you won't be where. I was somewhere the other day, and that was in the gym yesterday, and I was listening. It was like on some mixtape, and it was a mixtape that had an intro with George Bush where he goes, "Fool me once, shame on
you." That's the J. Cole song.
Yeah, fool me twice. you can't get fooled again, right? And I feel like that needs to happen for you not to get fooled again. You know, it and it's unfortunate that you might have to get a bite in the ass. There's some people that don't. There's some people that just need a little nick before it, you know, it wakes you up, right? But it needs to knock on their front door, and it's doing that right now, and people are realizing it. But then you have that other side, the stubborn side, that says, regardless of how bad we are, we're standing by this guy. Those are the people that need to, should be just, you know, they need to be checked in somewhere. The fact that they will not admit that they are worse off than they were at the beginning of all this mishmash crisis stuff, right? Where these global elitists are honestly now starting to get up. Ego's a motherfucker, man, right?
What did you tell me yesterday? You said something that literally, you go, we're not in the entertainment business. We're in the ego business.
We are in the ego business. And I think the ego is starting to affect everybody, even these global elitists who at one point were probably so quiet and the world was run a certain way with standards and morals, and these global elitists wouldn't say anything. Now they got egos and they want people to know who they are and what they're doing. And they're stepping out and saying, like, you're going to eat fake meat. We're going to shoot you up with whatever we want to shoot you up with. We're going to use your money for whatever we want to do, whatever we want to do. And then we're going to do some shit. Like, it's just, it's crazy. And the unfortunate part of all of this are the 600 people that run, 600 plus people that have a say in our government that we put into office every 2 to 4 years, right? And how they go in so naive to the fact that you're about to sell out. Like, can we get somebody that's not a sellout? Like these fake, like I said, the fake super, that's a new term on the show, fake superheroes. We got to get that shirt made. If I see that shirt anywhere else other than here, I'll know they stole it from us.
The fake superhero shirt?
We have to, like, these fake superheroes are killing us, man.
I kind of think that it might be a psychological operation from, like, China or something. For this, our society
called,
to look like
it's
this.
It's called, I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you on the side. I'm going to give you a kickback.
Yeah, say some fucked up shit. do some fucked up shit. And like over time, it just kind of snowballs to where it's like, we're no longer paying you to say fucked up shit. This is what you've been programmed to do. Kind of like the ideological subversion.
It takes a generation
to program. So the next generation just kind of learns from that generation. Maybe that's why my generation's so fucked up.
No, man, come on.
What do you mean, no, come out? Dude, that makes perfect fucking sense. Ideological subversion of the last generation programmed you guys to be like super liberal fucking crazy. And then what happens to the next generation? Let's take it up a notch. Even more super liberal.
You ain't lying. No, I'm sure. I mean, who knows? Like, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with your theory that has happened. And it continues to happen. What needs to happen right now is we need to wake the up and basically tell them we ain't going for that. You know the Hall & Oates song, I Can't Go For That?
Yeah, I know the song. We need to do that. But you know what's actually happening? People are not waking up. People are taking antidepressants to kind of stay asleep because
that's another form of control. They're taking that stuff.
That's what I'm saying. People are taking that stuff because the fucking reality of things are so bad that you don't want to face that, Mike. You'd rather just be level-headed, cool, and ignorant, and blissful.
I think...
But you also don't want to be, like, living miserably and, like, oh, I don't want to eat this because it's got Red 40 in it. And, like, those people are fucking miserable, dude.
So, if you listen to yourself, what you just said, between, you know...
I'm trying to find a balance.
I'm taking this medication. I mean... Listen to the toxic soup that we live in, yeah. Right? It's almost like I thought about it earlier today, too, when I was trying to figure out how I was going to enter into the show today. And I said, you know, you come into life, man. We're born into this life. And it's kind of like it's a cesspool of crap. I thought about a Jay-Z song, which had nothing to do with this, but I could relate it back to this. And it's a song called You Don't Know. And in the song, he goes, welcome to hell where you are welcome to sell, right? All scars, we earn them, right? If the shot's fired, you better return them. So it's like we are born into this hellhole, man. And pick your reality. Where do you want to go? What trip of life or what trip of an experience do you want to be on? Right? Because everybody here is willing to sell it to you. Or are you going to create your own? And that's the part that...
Create your own hell or your own experience?
Whatever it is.
Because you kind of got to go through hell.
You choose it regardless. It's your experience.
You choose your heart.
It's your experience, right? So you choose how you want to control it. I thought about it the other day when you say to yourself... And this was after we had the conversation about the Gen Zers and the younger millennials being a little bit so anxious and so uptight and why. It's weird, man. You know, Ram Dass said we were born into this like spacesuit, this skin, this body. And sometimes this skin and this body that you're in, it feels like it doesn't fit quite right. Like something's never quite right about it. No matter how nice your suit is, your body is, like you could have the perfect body, you could have the perfect brain, and then you're still going to feel fucked up about yourself, right? That, once again, the ego's reason to not exist because it fucks shit up. But that is one of the things that we go through a lot in life. All of us go through this stuff, right? My whole thing is, with that being said, you have these puppeteer masters, right? These salesmen that are out there, right? And you're new, fresh blood into this world, into this life, ready to experience it. And they're just giving you out free samples of shit until they hook you. And then boom, you're funding their reality of life, or their reality becomes your reality, if that makes any sense.
Wow, that's actually the craziest thing that I've ever heard, because like the moment that you come out into this world, you are like a target. Yes. You are a lick to be hit.
Welcome to hell where you're welcome to sell. So if you want to do it too, you're more than welcome to do it. But we're going to sell to you. We're going to sell to you. And whatever and however I can hook you, I will. Come on, man. Look at TV today. You ain't even sick. You're not even close to being sick. but you continue to watch that screen, and subliminally, something's going to tell you that you're sick, or something's going to tell you that you need that pill, or something's going to make you understand that this company has any and everything to get rid of that ailing situation, or take this needle and you could lose some weight, although you have to be diabetic, but whatever.
No, dude.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot of my generation, like, this is the fucked up part, and I'm noticing this, because I was in a fraternity, and a lot of the guys would talk about, like, oh, man, like I couldn't get hard last night when I was with this girl. You know what I mean? I got whiskey dick or something. They would call it that. I'm, like, just thinking to myself. And then I'm going and I'm seeing all these ads on YouTube for, like, the Hims, the Keeps, like, you know, to enhance your male performance. I'm like, dude, I am a healthy 23-year-old male. There's no reason that I should be taking this stuff. Like, let's go back and see where it got fucked up.
I'm here to enhance your ego. At the same time, you're here to fund my reality, right? And my reality of making you a customer for life, or making you hooked in or plugged into me.
Yeah, but you're talking about, like, matrix. The synthetic meats earlier, the Bill Gates stuff, the plant-based burgers, and, like, you got to think, like, what is killing the testosterone to where things like this happen, to where now there is a market, when there shouldn't even be a fucking market. This shouldn't happen until you're, like, 50 or above.
Easy now, player. Easy now.
Easy now. See, that's the ego.
It shouldn't, but it is. No, I mean, that's true. You know, there's been historically a lot of data that's been pointing to young men in their 20s having, or, you know, 20s and 30s having lower than recorded testosterone levels, you know, across the board. And there's so many environmental factors.
I think porn is a big one.
Huge. Porn is huge. Well, porn is more psychological than it is physical.
It's very destructive, dude.
It can affect testosterone, but not in the way that you're thinking. A lot of things that I'm talking about more so are things that are in our, you know, in our water, lack of food, putting us on things like, or getting us to agree to do things like these plant-based diets, or these ultra processed, slap a fucking healthy sticker on it and call it a impossible burger type shit, right? Like, those things kill people.
About to give you impossible cancer.
Yeah, no, more like possible cancer, right? But it's like, you know, when you actually ask somebody, like, what is that made of? And you go down this list, like, you got to say to yourself, that can't be good for me. All right. But it's all part of, like, whose agenda is that?
Most people don't read ingredients. They don't read labels. And it's just not how most of America lives, dude. You go to McDonald's, you pick some stuff up, and
it's not
your quick lunch.
The bigger picture of that is, like, why are we like that? Why is our society like that, right? Why are we advertising, or why is the news talking about shit that really has nothing to, like, if you want to put it in perspective, the news is talking about shit that has nothing to do, our American news, that is, talking about shit that has nothing essentially to do with us, that we involved ourselves in, but the shit that's right on our home soil they won't talk about, like, you know, the obesity pandemic. Why are we eating what we're eating? Why won't we explore other options? Yes, you're right. The bigger picture at the end of the day is, and I think these are all cogs in a bigger wheel, but, you know, there's a health cog, there's a financial cog, there's a human trafficking cog. There's a whole bunch of
freaking stuff. They're not going to talk about that, because when they talk about the war that's going on in Israel, what happens? You get pissed, and then you watch longer. So you're basically being sold. But it's money, though.
I mean,
you're being sold.
But you can't be mad at the hustle. As long as you know the hustle, then you get by. You bypass it. That's what it is. As long as you know the hustle, you bypass it. Right? You get angry about it. Oh, these news people ain't making on them. Stop watching. Trust me, you stop watching. Watch the advertisers. Stop advertising.
Yeah, it's, but the thing simple. Is people are not gonna stop watching, because it's just human nature.
You can. Like, you can, there's nothing that you're telling me that cannot be solved. That's the part about life I don't understand at times. It's like, you can't say you can't. Like, if I say, listen, if you know cigarettes is killing you, and you've been smoking for the past 30 years and you don't want the cigarettes to kill you anymore, you know what's the best prescription for that?
What?
To stop smoking cigarettes. But it's not that easy. But I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying you want the answer. That's the answer. Now, it being easy, that's a whole different thing. Yeah, you got. We talked about that. You got to go through all this withdrawal shit and all that crap, you know, but you come out the other side. And when you come out the other side, oh, shit, that was a rough year. That was it. It was just a year. It was just a fraction of time, right? There's nothing that you're saying that cannot be, that people don't have control of. It's the fact that they don't, because, yes, we're creatures of habit, and to break the program, to find that terminal, right, that last, that quit, mm-hmm. quit/enter, whatever it is, and create a neural pathway. That's the part, the neural pathway that says, I don't do that anymore, and I don't get affected by it anymore. That's the hard part.
I think that everybody kind of has it in them to be able to do that, because I think back to when I first hopped in a cold plunge, you know, when we were at Jesse's that one year for Hell on the Hill. You basically were like, get in the cold plunge. And I got into the cold plunge up to my shins and I wouldn't get in any further because I hated the feeling of how bad it was. And that was me. How long? That was a couple of years ago. And now fast forward, I can get into the cold plunge and I can sit in there. Not comfortable.
Still not pretty.
Not pretty, but I can do it for about 3 to 4 minutes now in the same temperature water.
It's, I mean, yes, the mindset is part of getting past a lot of this, all this hard stuff, you know, whether it's you're doing something physical or right now what we're going through in society today, you know, talking about how can they allow us and how can they, that's one thing. The other thing is the discipline of saying to yourself, you know, you mentioned something to me the other day. You say, yeah, it's funny, man. Like a lot of these BlackRock and Vanguard people call the house. You know, if you ever notice, guys, if people call you interested in giving you a cash offer from a house, you know, for your house, a lot of times that's not just.
I had this conversation recorded because it was hilarious.
It's not a person trying to buy your house. It's actually a company. There's a, you know, and these are the companies that are, you know, making it seem personable, like some Joe Schmuck is trying to buy your house when it's really them, the corporations, right? But so they'll come in and they'll, you know, make you the offer. You know, would you be interested in a cash offer to your house? And absolutely, I'll always price the house 10 times higher. I'll say, if you give me $5 million for my house right now, cash, you come pick it up right now. Just take it. I'll just walk out. Just call my wife. Just tell her to leave the house. Just everything in it. We'll figure it out. $5 million cash. And then, yeah, we'll call you back. And, you know, it's bullshit, right? But, you know.
You let her have it, though. You let her have it on the phone. That was hilarious.
But, I mean, I had to. I mean, listen, if somebody's going to give me $5 million, I'm going to take it.
You said $5 million. She goes, oh, well, that's above market rate, sir. And then you just went off on
her. The discipline of it, though, however, is if you can get around saying to yourself that renting is easier. Maybe, I don't know, maybe people are at a point where they are in this renting mode and they don't know where they want to go.
It's easier, though. It's, you're paying the mortgage on something that you don't even fucking own. So when you walk away from
it's renting, though. I mean, that's part of the business, though. The business is lodging.
Yeah. Okay, so you're the consumer.
Yeah.
Basically.
You're the consumer. So what? Not,
it's
renting is different. I'm talking about if you're trying to own a home, though. If you're truly trying to own a home, right? Then obviously there needs to be some kind of discipline towards getting to that form of ownership. You know, I know there was a couple that posted something on TikTok recently, and she was a nurse. Her husband had a good job. They got two kids. They lived in an 1,100-square-foot home, had no money after they paid the mortgage and got food in today's world, right? Had like $200 left. After they got paid on Friday, they had $200 left till the next payday for 2 weeks, right? So everything around us is so inflated. Everything around us is so controlled, right? And putting pressure on us to stay in that state. Stay in that, you know, sympathetic state of, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, things are getting too crazy, versus taking a step back and figuring out, like, how can you truly get out of that mode and start your ownership journey? Some people may not want to, though, at all.
I have a question for you.
That's okay. What?
If you, Mike Johnson, today, yeah, lost everything, you're, yeah, out on the street.
Don't, not, please don't, Josh. Go ahead.
He's getting scared over there. And all you have is your phone. How are you getting back on your feet and getting yourself up to where you want to be again if you had to start from ground zero?
I don't know. It's just, this is the dumb shit that y'all ask. No,
it's,
I don't
not
know,
dumb, because a lot of people are on their fucking last dime and they don't have really shit to lose. So it's kind of like, if you don't have shit to lose, what are you doing to get up financially? To get out of this rat race.
What would you do?
If I was out on my,
you're pretty phone, much there anyway, so all you got is your phone. What are you doing?
I would probably, you can't DoorDash because you don't have a fucking car. Wow, that's such a good question. I'm just thinking of how they trap people and they keep people fucked up in the system for so, I actually, you know, I'd walk my ass right into, well,
if
McDonald's.
I had a phone, if I had a phone, obviously the first thing I'd start doing is, and if I had, you know, Wi-Fi access, or I could get someplace to get Wi-Fi access, I'd start obviously looking for a job.
I would walk directly, right, into McDonald's.
Well, I mean, you could do that too, but you could start looking for the closest McDonald's that is hiring to get a job.
Okay, and
that's,
you,
the first thing I'd,
you
do.
You start making some money. You can you even save money at this point because of what they're paying you with these minimum wage jobs? And you have a lot of adults working minimum wage jobs. That's the thing.
If you go to McDonald's right now, what do you think you're making?
I saw a fucking sign on the window when I picked up my Wendy's yesterday. It said hiring up to $11 an hour.
Okay, so $11 an hour, right?
Up to, Mike. What is the minimum wage in Georgia? It's like, is it still like $9 or something like that?
Like $7.50 or something.
Dude.
Something like
that. Rent is $2,000. So let's say you make,
yeah, but a lot of people are not doing that. Like, depending on the area that you're in, right? And I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, because at the end of the day, I know it's tough. Like, for you to come on the other side of town to work in a McDonald's that might have a higher wage, it's gonna take you all day to get there. It's like not worth it, right?
Right.
So let's say at $10 an hour you work 8 hours a day, so you get $80 a day.
Holy shit.
That's taxed by the government. So really you get $60 a day, right? So you get $60 a day. You work 7 days a week. That's $420 net. It's $840 every 2 weeks.
That is sickening.
It's $840 every 2 weeks.
And your rent is baseline. Baseline rent in the city and outside the city.
$1,600 and change every month.
Yeah, so right? you're only paying your rent. You can't even afford groceries at that point. And yeah, this is how most of America is living. I'm not saying they're working at McDonald's, but they're making like shit wages, and the price of things and goods keep
going up.
So what
are you, what are you saying? What do you want to do?
I don't know. I just wanted to maybe come up with a solution for people that are kind of stuck in that position. You know, you've been through it. Like, you took the road less traveled.
Yeah, but mine is a little bit more unique. I'm talking about,
everybody's story is unique.
That's very true. You just put my foot in my mouth. You're absolutely right. Everybody's story is unique. But what I'm saying is, you gave me a very unique scenario.
Oh, where you only have a phone and you're right, just out on your
street. And then I just got a fucking job. I got a fucking job at McDonald's, and I'm only making $1,680 a month. That's after taxes. I mean, after taxes. $1,680 a month, right? Is it just me, or do I have a family? Or, like, let's say, do I have a family?
You can't just get rid of your family that you have now. You're in the shit.
Oh, okay. So I have a family. So $1,680 a month is to feed, clothe, and house a family of four. Well, my wife got to work. So she's going to have to borrow my phones and make a call. She's going to have to make a call. I don't know. I mean, it just depends. I mean, I am a – do I have the same unique skills that I got.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's the same. Like,
I'm not going for a job at McDonald's. I got a phone. Shit. I'm calling all my clients. Are you kidding me?
Okay, fine. That's too easy.
I'm going to call all my clients. I'm going to get with a friend of mine who has like the same type of setup I have. I'm going to do some kind of deal with him where I do like some, I lease it or rent his space from him and pay him some, and we go from there. Now, I thought you meant like I didn't know anything and I didn't have any money, and I was just like, you know, completely just asked out. Like I didn't have any kind of skill set. Which is also not an untrue situation. There's some people that don't have the kind of skill sets that, you know, would allow for that. So that's a very unique situation. I don't know how anyone would get through it.
So the lesson would be to develop a skill.
Yeah.
That's an important piece of 100%, advice right there.
100%. You know, but until we can get... Listen, coming off of this, this discipline challenge, this 75 hard challenge that I'm coming up off of, tomorrow, right? 75 days. One thing that I've learned is if you are disciplined enough, there's nothing that you can't do. Like if you live it, breathe it, feel it, and work at it all simultaneously, and it's a harmony to it, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're making $1,600 a month with 16,000, you're going to be great, 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 beyond great. If you got 16,000, obviously that's way better. But I'm just saying, like, if you have the skill set to do whatever you do well and you've practiced that and you have the desire, you're unstoppable, you know. So then you don't have to ask that question. You don't have to ask the question of how you just do. Now, the other part of that coin goes back to what you were saying. You know, these people that own everything, these elitists that control us, what we were just talking about a second ago is just a small part of the solution. Like getting rid of and dismantling that kind of order in the world where these people, you know, you have a handful of people that are calling the shots and we don't have a say, that's a problem, man.
That's a huge problem.
That's a huge, huge problem, and we need to start standing up and doing something about it. You know, when you really go back to that and you go back to, like, what it's supposed to be and how it's supposed to run and how we're supposed to have this really great world with these great fake superheroes that call themselves our leaders, our world leaders, our politicians, you know, it starts, if you want to know where it starts, that's where it starts. Like these people that are trying to run the world and run us into the ground aren't the one. They don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to do this shit today. It's very planned and it's very orchestrated as far as there's levels to the shit, right? They control, you know, this level of society, meaning, you know, our government, right? So how things roll, the policies, you know, who comes into office. I firmly believe that, man. Like, that is how things are run today. If it wasn't that way, we wouldn't allow, like, all these Wall Street donors and corporate sponsors and everything like that to start donating to some of these politicians. When Carter ran for re-election against Reagan, or better yet, I think it got a better one for you. When John F. Kennedy was running for president, I think the most you could raise allowable by each party standards for...
They had limits on their, how much they could
for donate. For campaign
funds. There's so many loopholes around that
now. It was like $200,000. Uh-huh. That was the most that you could raise and spend.
Yeah. You know, then they found loopholes around how to donate.
Now these motherfuckers get super PACs, millions, billions, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
Like, what the, you know what I mean? And whatever it is, the loophole or whatever it is, I'm not a political expert by far. No, I am not. But I'm going to say shit has changed greatly, you know? And I'll show you how. I'll give you an example. I got this clip. It just happened, and I'm not really impressed by it. But the Republican debate happened last week with four people that I feel like they just need to sit down and go away. But it was very comedic to watch. But it also showed me how, you know, what I just talked about. You got this hierarchy of the way that society is run with these elitists, and then you come down to the, you know, global leader level. Say that shit 10 times. But you come down to that level, and you see how these people are bought. And what I mean by that is, we're in the middle of a war.
Which one? We got the Ukraine war. We got the Israel-Palestine.
We're in the middle of a couple wars, right? But in particular,
at the time of recording this, we might be in a couple more.
We might be
in the next week.
But Vivek Ramaswamy, who's one of the Republican candidates, is running for the Republican nominee for president. He brought a good point to the table. He said, you know, you get people like the current president and one of his running mates, oppositions, Nikki Haley. She also is in favor of the Ukraine war, according to Vivek. The problem is, though, she doesn't know what she's in favor of. Like, she couldn't tell you geographically, like, what province in Ukraine she wants our troops to go in. She just, like, and that's the damn truth. Like, everybody, these agendas are being rolled down from the higher ups down to our government level, and then being marketed and pushed and swindled into our minds, right? To do shit by, you know, giving them money to support wars that we know nothing about.
You got civilians fighting each other in the streets over,
listen, bro,
rich people's wars.
Everybody that had every, you know, and that's a funny thing about people in this country, man. You know, because I ain't putting none of that shit out. The only flag I got in front of my yard,
He's got a Ukraine flag. It's blue and yellow. And it's right next to the pride flag.
I swear, you never see that shit in my house. But the only flag I have is an American flag. Just because, one, I'm not going to lie and say I stand with Ukraine, because I don't. Because I'll be real with you. Like, if shit go down, I'm not going over there. Forget about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Putin, you could have it. Ain't got shit to do with me. It's already
been going down for the past couple months.
Have a good one, right? I'm not putting a Ukraine flag out on my porch, my property, or even yelling it, because there's nobody in Ukraine doing the same thing to us or for us, right? And I feel the same way about Israel, too, as well. All right? It's nothing to do with me. I don't have anything against those people. It just has nothing to do with me. So I get to the point where Vivek starts to say she doesn't know anything about it, but she's taking money from it. Listen to this clip.
Foreign policy experience is not the same as foreign policy wisdom. I want everybody at home to note that I was the first person to say we need a reasonable peace deal in Ukraine. Now a lot of the neocons are quietly coming along to that position, with the exceptions of Nikki Haley and Joe Biden, who still support this, what I believe is pointless war in Ukraine. And I think those with foreign policy experience, one thing that Joe Biden and Nikki Haley have in common is that neither of them could even state for you three provinces in eastern Ukraine that they want to send down troops to actually fight for.
Look at her face. She's like, fuck.
Look at that. This is what I want people to understand. These people have, I mean, she has no idea.
Stop right there. I'm going to tell you right now, and this is how you know it's bullshit, right? I swear, if that was me and you called me out on some shit, right, and I knew the answer to it, man, I would blast you from here to kingdom come. You'd think twice about even coming at me. And the look on her face.
Yeah, she's like, come on, man. Don't do
this.
The
look on this woman's face just gives it away. Like, I have no fucking idea, and I wished he never went there with that.
Yeah.
Like, if he really wanted to be a straight up prick, he could have asked her, how do you feel about this province? Where is it located? Huh? Tell me a little bit about it. Keep going.
Provinces are, but she wants to send our sons and daughters and our troops and our military equipment to go fight.
Look, stop. Ron DeSantis is over there.
He's like, damn, he's got a good point.
Yeah, he's like, shit, I'm glad he's not asking me that question, because I sure as hell don't know. Go ahead.
Reject this myth that they've been selling you, that somebody had a cup of coffee stint at the UN and then makes $8 million after.
Wait, do they have earpieces in? Because somebody could be like, here's the three provinces, whisper.
No.
It's a real foreign policy experience. It takes an outsider to see this through. Look at the blank expression. She doesn't know the names of the
the crowd.
She wants to actually fight for it. And there's her puppet masters right there. The donors right there that are playing her like the puppet
masters. Okay, hold on.
Let me just say something.
Stop. So, done. Okay. So
wait, no. Does he say anything in this clip?
No, he doesn't.
I want to hear what the fuck Chris Christie has to say.
Chris Christie comes in and says, the nerve for you to insult her because you're saying that she doesn't know.
Yeah, I've seen
you can't insult her intelligence, and she doesn't know. And you don't know either.
We got to let our listeners listen to this.
Bro, you don't even know how to lose some weight, bro. Like, how are you going to know about what's on him? You don't, like, and that was another thing somebody said about Chris Christie was, like, if this dude honestly, like, if he really wanted to be taken seriously, like, seriously, bro, lose some weight, right? Look like you about something, right? This, like, pussy-ass move just shows that you're a beta male. You're coming to the rescue of your opponent.
Actually.
What are you trying to, at this point, what are you trying to do? You trying to be a gentleman in this case?
It's called the White Knight.
Come on, man. It's called the White Knight. That's the biggest crock of horse shit.
I
want to
see this real quick, because I have not seen this.
Peace deal in Ukraine. He made it clear. Give them all the land they've already stolen. Promise Putin you'll never put Ukraine
look at his
in
neck.
Russia. And then trust Putin not to have a relationship like Peter Griffin. With China. Let me tell you something. That's no
that's
reasonable.
Not my deal. That's not my deal.
Yes,
Chris.
It's exactly what
I'll,
you said.
I'll describe
you
my
do
deal
this
too.
At every debate.
I'll just, I'll
you
exactly
say
what
no,
I'll
no. Don't interrupt me. I didn't interrupt you. Okay? You
tell
say
them
this.
About how you
what a freaking wuss.
You do this at every debate.
You do this every time.
All of us see it on video. We confront you on the debate stage. You say you didn't say it, and then you back away. And I want to
I'll
say
tell you
what?
Exactly
no,
what I said, Chris.
I'm not done yet.
Well, this is
now look.
This is
like so here. Listen, done. I don't want. I'm over it. Like it's like a whole bunch of cackling kids. So the point that I'm making is,
I really enjoyed that. By the way,
you have a lot of these people in power making decisions that they know nothing about. Right, a lot of their cronies around them are really what's feeding them all the bullshit, and they don't have the nerve. I mean, they have the nerve to get in front of the American people and say that, you know, I'm standing with here and they know everything about Ye. As we can see, she knows nothing about the scenario that we are currently in.
Look at her face at all.
Much less knowing the scenario that the average American is in, you know, financially, mentally, and all in between. So, you know, it starts there if we want to start fighting it. Like, honestly.
Somebody said some, like, crazy.
And I know it's hard.
I don't know if it was Ice Cube or not. I don't think it was Ice Cube. But somebody, Joe Biden had said in his speech, he calls people folks, folks, folks. And somebody was like, motherfucker, you have not seen a folk in 30 years. You are so out of touch with reality.
I don't get that.
What?
What do you mean?
Like, Joe Biden in his speech, he'll call the American people, he'll call my American folks, folks, folks. Like you.
What's wrong with folks?
No, there's not
I'm
anything
confused.
That's it's not anything that's wrong with it. But the fact that he hasn't had a like an interaction with a folk in 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's not go there with that. That's a whole nother conversation, a whole nother episode. Let's get back to the matter at hand. How do we dominate and get back from these global elites, these bastards that have stolen the world from us? It's going to be a hard and uphill battle, folks, because folks. we've no pun. But we have pretty much handed them the keys to do as they want because we haven't spoken up, and now is the time for us to start talking. I'm starting to realize that. I started realizing that a while ago that we need to do that. So with that being said, I think
money is power, though. People need money. You gotta get some fucking money in your pockets to have some sort of leverage.
Yeah, but in order to do that, though, you got to put the right people in power to allow you to do that, right? And I'm not talking about doing anything shady. I'm just talking, I mean, none of that bullshit. I'm just talking about, like, real, true people that know how to run this country, real, true people that know how to run the world, that have a genuine spot in their heart for wanting humanity to exist and to thrive. And I just feel like that's a far ways away because we have so many people that all they care about is all their delusional bullshit and the power and all the disgusting shit that comes with it. And that's why we're in the cesspool, because we don't want to think. And like I said, you ain't going to want to think and you ain't going to wake up till the shit hits your front door. Well, guess what, mofos? It's about to hit your front door. And if you don't wake up soon, it's going to be gone. It's almost gone. And people have been preaching that for, I wish I listened to this shit a while ago. Right? And started waking up to that fact that as you look around, you know, that little $100 in rent here, $100 in rent here, you can't say this here, you can't stand that there. It's getting more and more and more, you know, tax here, tax here. And your space around you is getting a little bit more dense, a little bit more dense, and you don't have much room to move because of how you're dictated.
The more Ukraine flags I see, the more I'm like, fuck, the rent's about to go up.
You got to think about that. So, you know, you don't believe us, go to New York, see what's happening in New York. But that's it. I hope that we can get it together. I hope that we can keep preaching the message. And I hope that as it was done to me, I can do it to others and for others. And I know I speak for Brendan too as well, where we can all start uniting and start having a voice, because it's super important. If not, that guy that's calling your house to buy it is really going to buy it, and you going to be renting from him, which ain't really going to be him. It's going to be one of these three companies that own your house, your car, and everything else. Don't let me get started on electric cars.
They own the food that you eat too, because they own, like, Unilever, the company that makes like deodorants and soaps and shit. They own a whole bunch of food companies.
I mean, beer owns Monsanto, so if that doesn't tell you anything. Like, you can't escape out of this shit, but you can duck and weave as long as you can.
I feel like living off the land and kind of having your own farm animals is the only way out of this. And that's how America used to be, yes?
Yeah, there's still challenges there because, yes, you are correct. But then I go down to the cellular level of, like, you know, you have your farm and you have your livestock and everything else, and you're living on land that doesn't necessarily have any and everything it needs to thrive. Like, our soil doesn't have the minerals that it used to have anymore. So, you know, nutrition gets depleted.
You know, at some point, you got to draw the line and be like, fuck it, I'll get some nutrients to put in the soil, like from one of these.
I'll figure it out. You got to figure out who's not the bad guy.
Yeah, because you're not going to win every battle, but you got to pick some battles that you can win.
Yeah, so with that being said, we just hope you wake up. That's the whole point of having a Ruck Talk. Don't forget to follow us on all social media. Although social media is the devil, it's the one way that we can basically stay in touch with you, and we can talk about these topics and then hopefully get off of it. Social media handles are as follows: at Ruck Talk everywhere. At Ruck Talk everywhere. And don't forget our website, rucktalk.com. That's where you can see all our episodes.
And I think, honestly, if you have something that you want us to talk about that you feel is pressing, urgent, go ahead and shoot us an email at rucktalk@rucktalk.com.
Yeah. info@rucktalk.com. We got a whole bunch of emails, man.
Yeah, I didn't know we had another one. You got all these emails.
We're growing, man.
It's like Hillary Clinton with the emails over here.
Until next time, y'all. We'll talk to you soon. And make sure you wake somebody up. Welcome to the show. Best round and just